So we are, of course, continuing our New NEM series, looking at new published literature in emergency medicine. And today we have myself and Dave McCreary, who's a emergency medicine trainee currently based over in Australia. Now, there are lots of other little kind of journal club literature review podcasts out there, and I would strongly encourage you to go out and listen to a few others. It gives you a much broader range of opinion and availability of kind of other papers that you wouldn't really have found otherwise. So I'll put a link to a few of the other podcasts in the show notes, and be sure and go check
New them. New in EM, paper number one.
IV olanzapine. So my next paper is looking at the use of IV olanzapine. Do you use olanzapine yourself, Andy? I know from your podcast recently you were annoyed that you didn't have droperidol. So what do you use?
Droperidol?
Instead?
Yeah. So I've used olanzapine more on an oral, the kind of soluble wafer ones, or an oral tablet for someone who's come in with some maybe psychotic symptoms, who's willing to take something orally. So The kind of slightly cooperative patient that you want to get something while they're waiting for psychiatry to come down. And often when you ring psychiatry over the phone, that was kind of a common recommendation they were giving us in my last place I worked. But I haven't used it parenterally at all.
Okay. The thing with IV olanzapine is it's not been licensed for IV use, and there's very little pharmacological data on it. So this is a paper that was looking at whether IV olanzapine could be safe to use. And so the title of the paper is A Prospective Observational Study of Patients Receiving Intravenous and Intramuscular Olanzapine in the Emergency Department. It was in the Annals of Emergency Medicine last year, 2016, by John B. Cole.
And this group has done lots of stuff on sedation. We'd covered a paper, I think, the one on ketamine from Minneapolis for agitated delirium, that type of thing. We covered that before, I think, in UNI, and that was his paper.
So this was a prospective but observational study, the main issue being that getting consent for the agitated patients would have been limiting. So an observational study was an easier way to go. Or a more practical way to go. They looked at ED patients, and the patients were receiving olanzapine for any clinical indication. And I have to say,
These are some things that
I certainly have never used it for.
Yeah, when you see olanzapine, you assume it's all for psych reasons, but obviously there was a lot of times they were using this not for psych reasons.
Headache? Ever used olanzapine for a headache?
No, exactly. I know, that's interesting.
Who needs paracetamol? I'm just going to pop an olanzapine next time. I'd want to see the research on that.
These guys have published a randomized trial on olanzapine for headache. I looked it up afterwards. Yeah.
Is it any good?
Next month on New and EM. Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but
I look forward to you reporting back. So they looked for any indication. So that was agitation, headache, nausea and vomiting. Again, I've never really used it much for that myself. Or abdominal pain, which I thought was a curveball. Yeah. And it was patients receiving it via either the IV or the IM route. None of your little wafers, Andy. This is proper stuff. This is proper emergency medicine. So they had research nurses that observed these patients for the first 60 minutes after administration. And they looked at it every 5-10 minutes. And they were looking for a primary outcome of respiratory depression, which they categorized by lots of different criteria. You know, the need to be intubated, for example. Yeah, that wasn't
my favorite primary outcome. But then I suppose when you look at it, they were doing this project primarily to kind of appease their drug and therapeutics committee, because they were looking for safety primarily.
Well, exactly. So that I think their goal here was to prove that it's safe to use. And I think I would always have thought, my assumption would have been that cardiac issues would be the thing you would be looking at, but they say that there's previous studies that show that it doesn't prolong the QTC, etc. So they wanted to look at respiratory depression. And I suppose that's the thing, because if we're using this for, you know, agitated, intoxicated patients, that's the thing that's most likely going to happen and cause problems for you. So that was their primary. And they, like I say, they used loads of criteria for that, from anywhere from being intubated to requiring your physician to shake you to make you breathe. So they also looked at that. They looked at any other monitoring that might have been done, any ECGs that were performed. And then they also talked to the treating physicians to get an assessment of what they thought the efficacy of the drug had been for the indication they chose it.
I suppose that's what I wanted them to do. I want them to know, did the drug actually work? And because of the nature of this trial, they're not really able to assess that. So their way of doing that was just asking the doctor on a kind of Likert scale, did you think the drug worked? Well, obviously that's a very, very soft outcome, but it's nice that they looked at it.
I think the thing that I chose worked very well, thank you.
Yeah.
So results-wise, they got 784 patients in their final analysis, and that had 295 getting IV and 489 getting IM olanzapine. that, like I say, the primary outcome was respiratory depression, and surprisingly low numbers, I think. 3.7% in the IV group and 2% of the IM group having any of the indications for, or any of the criteria for respiratory depression. And out of all of the 784, only 7 of them ended up intubated because of their respiratory depression, and there was 2 in the IV group and 5 in the IM group. And those are tiny numbers, you know, you're way less than 1%. Even requiring intubation. And if you think of it, that's the worst outcome of respiratory depression.
Yeah. And well, if you drill down into that, if you drill down into those kind of people who got intubated, you thought, these people got olanzapine for a headache and ended up intubated. That's not what happened.
No, exactly.
All the intubations were all the kind of aggressive agitated patients who got multiple other agents as well, and or may have been intubated because of the other drugs, or may have been intubated to protect their airway for various reasons. So it's not clear in any way that the olanzapine was responsible for the intubation.
Yeah, they could have easily been intubated just because that was the end of the line of managing these people. And, you know, we've all been there. It does happen. I think, interesting, it shows that olanzapine is a decent drug, whichever way you decide to give it, because 81% of the IV and 84% of the IM didn't need any additional sedation. I thought that was
I mean, that's their kind of way of assessing, did it work for agitation? If you only got one drug and you didn't need to have a second one, then you can kind of assume that hopefully it did what it was meant to do.
Yeah, I think I'd be fairly satisfied with that myself. So basically, what are they showing here? They're showing that this is an observational trial, but it's showing that IV olanzapine is probably pretty safe, certainly in comparison to IM. They both have their complications. They're both around the same incidence. What you're probably seeing is that the peak onset of olanzapine IV is a bit quicker than the 15 to 45 minutes of the IM administration.
Yeah.
And that's probably why you're getting a slightly higher incidence of respiratory depression. Though I would argue, again, because look at the indications those ones were getting the IV for, they're less likely to be stimulated anyway. You know, if you're sedating an agitated patient, they're less likely to go all the way down to respiratory depression. Whereas if you give a sedative to someone that's just got a headache, they're far more likely to get it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they drift off and get a bit sleepy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So clinical bottom line, am I going to continue to do what I was doing before, and that's use it IM and then maybe every so often use it IV? Probably. I seldom find reason to use IV, though, because if I'm trying to sedate someone that's agitated, and that's my main reason for using it, if they're that agitated that I'm giving it, it's probably IM.
Anyway.
And if they're cooperative, they'll get a wafer.
Yeah,
or they'll get droperidol, because I'm in Australia and we have droperidol. Sorry.
Yeah, getting it anywhere at all. So I thought, because in their introduction, they kind of talk about the droperidol shortage and how they effectively introduced olanzapine as a straight swap substitute for it. And so droperidol has obviously got lots of data behind it for headache. It's got lots of data behind it for sedation. And so I don't have droperidol. And if I wanted, say every time I think, oh, I'd love to have droperidol, this paper is suggesting you could probably substitute olanzapine. It's not strong data. You haven't got a clear randomized trial or anything like that, but effectively that's what they're trying to suggest. We'll be right back.